Now, what I want to do is the Rashi's in the beginning of a yeshiva. It's something that I did when I was in West Hempstead, which I wanted to do for the yeshiva. It's the Rashi's in the beginning of a yeshiva. First few Rashi's over there. Okay? I think that there are really important yesodos that emerge from these Rashi's. And I would like to go through them. So it's the first Rashi is in the Yeshiva. Just give me 1 second. Yeah. Okay. So Rashi says like this. Rashi says, Vayeshev Yaakov, Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Meguri Oviz Be'eretz Kenan. So Rashi says, Achar Shekosov Lach Yishuvei Esau V'Toldosov B'Derech Ketzora, after the Torah taught us the generations of Esau and their conquests and the way they established themselves, that's in the previous parasha in the end of Vayishlach. Okay. So Vela told us Esau Lamedvav. Vela told us Esau Edom. Okay, in the end of the parasha. So the Torah goes on over there. Actually, some 43 psukim about the told us Esau. So Rashi says that Rashi considers that Derech Tzora. Okay, so it told you the Yeshuvei Esau the Derech Tzora. So Rashi says, Shelo hayu sfunim v'chashuvim l'farish heyoch nisyashvu v'seda mochamosehem, because they weren't anything that's valuable and concealed, I mean, that requires looking into, and they weren't anything that has any value to go into the details and seda mochamosehem eicho rishu asachori, how their conquest took place wasn't really... The Torah wasn't too interested in going into the details of their conquests. So the Torah went on, Pirish Loch Yeshuvei Yaakov V'Toldosav V'Derech Arucha. So then the Torah comes to the way the history of the account of how the Yaakov's family was established. So there goes the Derech Arucha. There Rashi says, this Rashi refers to as Derech Arucha. Kol Gilgulei Sibosom. All the concatenation of events, the causal chain that is involved in Yeshuvei Yaakov. So why does the Torah do that? So Rashi says that the details of the causes the Torah doesn't go into by Esau. Just gives you the account, the basic account. Even though it takes 43 psukim, which is a lot, but nevertheless it doesn't go into the Gilgulei Hasibos. Okay, the Shalshelas Hasibos, the chain of events. Why? Because they're not choshev. But by Yaakov is choshev. L'fnei Hamakom L'ha'arich Bayam, they give a lengthy give a lengthy account. So, because that's choshev l'fnei hamakom. Okay. V'chein etamotzei rashes basara doros shem Adam ad Noach. This in general, you see, is the style of the Torah. At the 10 generations from Adam till Noach, ploni holy ploni. It just gives you the account. But when it came to the narrative of Noach, Herichbo, there the Torah expands. The Chain Basara Doros Shemi Noach Vad Avram, and also the Tendaros Mav Avram again. That's in the end of Lech Lecha, correct? In the end of Noach. Kotza Bohem. When we Shegiyei to Avram, but then when it comes to Avram, by Lech Lecha Herichbo. Moshul Margolius Shenofla Bein Achol. So the moshul for that is like a diamond that fell among the sand. Adam the Mashmesh Bechol. So a person has to grope around and feel out the sand. The Kovra Bekavra. And he sifts it with a sieve, Acher Motzias and Margolius, till he finds the diamond. Kishemisha, once he finds it, Umashlechas Atzeros Miyada. He throws away the Tzeros, the Notel HaMargolius, and he takes the diamond. Okay. I mean, Rashi, just plain shot in Rashi, it sounds like, like a self-serving kind of prejudice. In other words, that we're more important, so therefore the Torah is Marach. They're not important, so the Torah is Makata. But really, I think that it's far deeper than that, that this really is, Rashi's explaining over here, two things. First of all, Rashi's explaining the way the whole pattern of Torah, the pattern with the way the account, what is the behind the account? I mean, that's the most difficult thing to understand. I mean, the Rav one time mentioned, he says, in the account of the Torah, the gaps are astounding. You know, I mean, to understand the Chachmas Torah, of how this narrative was put together, it's not put together like anything else, because it's Chachmas Hashem, and it really requires deep understanding to get down to the core, the nucleus of the motivation for the description, the reasons behind the description. But Rashi, of course, is brief. I mean, Rashi just gives you the Rashi Prakim over here. You have to look into exactly what he means more deeply. What is the mushal of the Margolius? I mean, the first problem, of course, when I was a kid in yeshiva, the Rebbe always say, learn Rashi, say, Vos Arta Rashi, you know? What's bothering Rashi? You know, I mean, that's the most important thing to understand. I mean, what's Rashi's problem? Of course, the problem is really something which is easy to recognize. The problem is that what is the Torah's objective, really? Is the Torah's objective to give a historical account? So then, I mean, it should be like any other account. I mean, just the generations and how it started from Adam until Mitzrayim, until Matan Torah. So the Torah should have given an equal account. If that's the objective of the Torah. On the other hand, if the objective of the Torah is really to tell you the lives of the avos, of the gedolei olam, and to learn from them, so then it should have been written in a different way. It shouldn't have been written with a historical flavor. I mean, as a historical account, it should have just written sipur maisei sirus dvar, sipur maisei the narrative of maisei avos. Or Maisei Enosh from Adam. I mean, Enosh to Adam from the time of Adam Arishon until Matan Torah. It seems to be like a kind of a combination. So that's really what's bothering Rashi. What is it? So the Torah should have been singular in its portrayal. Either it's portraying a historical account, that's one type of demands one type of narrative, or if it's portraying, it wants to just isolate the stories, the incidents that show you the godless Adam from Adam Arishon straight through Matan Torah, so then it should have been written in a different way. But here the Torah is sort of like it's straddling both objectives, combines both of them together. It's not a rational approach. I mean, a rational approach demands that you should single out one method or another method. You don't mix in two different methods in one representation, in one type of narrative. It's funny. I mean, that's the style that Rashi's really getting to the core of the uniqueness of the style of the Torah. And that you see straight through. Whenever the Torah talks about something, it'll give an account, but then all of a sudden it just mentions incidents. Like they'll give the account of the Shiftei Kor, Mentioned none of Aviyu, then suddenly said, Yomas none of Aviyu, Bakriv Meshel Fnei Hashem. Suddenly it interrupts the actual account and it gives you a little bit of a story. The funny kind of a style, the way the Torah does it. It's a sort of like it's going on Trei Rachshe. I mean, it's going on two different rails. So Rashi, what Rashi's trying to do here is to explain that. And Rashi says that it's really, Rashi says, really the Torah is interested in giving you a historical background, a historical account, the causes of what you see before you. Toldos is trying, whenever it says Ela Toldos, it's trying to account for what you have, explain what you, how did we get to this point? So the Torah does so when it comes to Esav, it's Makatzer, because it's not Choshev L'fnei HaMakom. When it comes to Yaakov, it's Choshev L'fnei HaMakom. What exactly does it mean, it's Choshev L'fnei HaMakom? Alright, and also, it's interesting that Rashi says that over here. I mean, you had it before. Why didn't Rashi make that point before? That's another question that we should raise. Also, I'd like to show that the succeeding Rashis are all really intertwined. For instance, when the next Rashi, Ela told us Yaakov. So Rashi says the Ela shall told us Yaakov, Ela the Yishuvayim the Gilgulayim Acha Bo Lakal Yishuv. Sibo Rishona, Yosef Ben Shvas Rishona, Al Yedezen is Gagul of Ayed Mitzrayim. Zeu Acha Yishuv Pshuto Shel Mikra, Lios Dovar Dibor Al Efonov. Okay, so the Shtalshlus of Sibos, concatenation of events. Then he goes to the Medrash Agada, he says, Medrash Agada Doresh, Tola Kosas told us Yaakov the Yosef, and they come at Vom. That, why does it say, Eilu told us Yaakov Yosef? Many reasons. Achas shekol atzma shel Yaakov lo overei to lovan ela barochel. That's one reason. Another reason, shoya zivi kunin shel Yosef domalo. That his appearance was just like he looked. He appeared just like he looked just like Yaakov. V'chomash irali Yaakov irali Yosef. Whatever happened to Yaakov also happened to Yosef. So it wasn't just a matter of appearance. It was a matter of the events that. That befell Yaakov, those same type of events befell Yosef. Zenistan v'zenistan. This one was hated, this one was hated. Zeochav m'vakesh l'argo v'zeochav m'vakesh l'argo. This one, his brother wanted to kill him, the other one, Echav, the other one, his brothers wanted to kill him. Okay, v'chein, zeochav z'echav m'vakesh l'argo, m'vakesh l'argo. V'chein harbe. Okay. And then Rashi finally says, v'od midrash bo, a third reason, a third drasha, Vayeshev Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Bishalva, that Yaakov wanted to live peacefully. Kofatalov Rogzo Shel Yosef. So suddenly it jumped upon him, fell upon him, like out of nowhere, the incident of the bad incident of Yosef. So Rashi says, Tzadikim mevakshim leishev b'shalva, Tzadikim want to live peacefully. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, lo dayam l'tzadikim mash mesukim lehem l'olam haba. It's not enough that Tzadikim have the next world. Elashim mevakshim leishev b'shalva b'olam haza, they want to also have peace in this world, a very difficult Rashi to understand. As Chazal say, on the contrary, that l'olam l'nivra olam, elo l'tzadikim gemurim, essentially, and as the Chazal says also, that Rishonim gemurim also have a... The meaning of Chazal, El Rishon, Tzadikim Gemurim, Rishonim Gemurim, but it means to say that Olam Haza is a situation where either it's a Tzadikim Gemurim or Rishonim Gemurim. It means to say that the in between is not, it doesn't work out in any way. Not Olam Haza, not Olam Haba. But anyways, but that's a separate point. But of course, I mean, the first part of the memory is that the world was created for Tzadikim and Gemurim. So basically that means that's the essential thing. The other part of the memory is just saying that in terms of Olam Hazeh, that the Rosh HaGomor as pure Olamata. But anyways, that's a separate thing. But the basic idea, I mean, the first part of the memory, which is, of course, something which is Seicho Machaivo, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu created this world for Tzadikim. I mean, that's a Dava Parshat. So to say that Tzadikim L'day Lohem Olam Abo, the one Olam Azeh also, as if it's a request that's inappropriate, just doesn't make any sense, because what was the whole purpose of the Bria? So what I'd like to show is that these Rashis are basically interrelated, and Rashi really is explaining a big yesod in how the Torah works. You see, the problem really that I mean, I know there are a lot of mafarshim that say the problem is why they say Vayeshiv Yaakov. It should have said it should have said Vela Toldos Yaakov. All right, I mean a lot of small questions here, but I think the big question is what is the signum parshios? I mean, what is the order? Suddenly Rashi notices that over here Vayeshev Yaakov is a change in the narrative. If you have a sensitivity for the Lashon HaMikra, for the language of the Psukim, you see the Torah really changes abruptly from one style to another style. That's really what's bothering Rashi. There's a change here for a person who is more than just a casual reader of the Torah, a person who reads it, looks at the Torah with a certain sensitivity. You see, suddenly there's an abrupt change in style from the Ela told us Esav and Edom, that last parsha, and suddenly the whole style changes. Vayeshiv Yaakov Beretz Meguri Aviv, an abrupt change. I mean, that's really what's the main thing that's bothering Rashi. What is this? What kind of a style is this? Yeah. So I think what Rashi is saying is. It's multi-dimensional, but what Rashi is saying really is, and also the question, of course, is what is the Seder Advarim in the Torah? If you take a look at the last parasha, what is the Eilat Olas Esav doing over here after the previous account? Okay, and then suddenly, really, you have to explain three different accounts. The account before with Yaakov, and after the Mice of Shechem, and then the whole account in the Menekes died, Dvorah died, and then Vayalakim Vayalakim Lavram Avram Padna Ram Vayvarchaso Vayikari the Shimcha Yaakov Kim Yisrael, and then Vayatzev Yaakov Matzeva, and then the passing away of Rachel, and then suddenly Vayla told us that's the end of one account, it seems. Then Vayla told us Esav Edom looks like a completely different thing. And then Vayeshev Yaakov again, another three different the order over here, the order of the parshiyos demand an explanation how it goes from one type of narrative to another type, different style, and what is also the signum parshiyos. I mean, the Perek Lamed Hey after Perek Lamed Hey, the Perek Lamed Vav. I mean, and then suddenly to Vayeshev. So what do you call it the signum advarim, I mean the order of the Seder Aparshias here. Okay. Yeah. So what Rashi's saying is let's just go for the take that first. Okay. Yeah. We mentioned in the Sunday Shiurim we're dealing with the concept of matzeva, that the avos were the vayivin mizbeach and matzeva, vayivin shem mizbeach v'kriv b'shem Hashem. So we mentioned last week that was a certain era, and it was an era in which the avos were involved in building mizbechos. The mizbeach really reflected two ideas. It was the knowledge of God, and mizbeach was like the Rambam says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kadmon, kadmos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the yesh me'ayin, the concept of yesh me'ayin, which is the most central concept of our das, and that's what Avraham Avinu taught the people, the das Hashem. And Yesod HaYesodos, that's one idea that's reflected in Mizbeach. And the other idea that's reflected in Mizbeach is knowledge of man, because Yahadus is built on a foundation of those two ideas, Yedias Hashem and knowledge of how man, what man is and where he stands in terms of partaking of that Yedias Hashem. That was the idea of Mizbeach. And that's why the parsha before, that's why you have Paraklamet Hay, where Kadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov, I'm going to Yaakov, Kuma Levesu Vesheshem, Vaase Shem Mizbeach Lakela Nira Lecha Baruchom Neesu Achicha. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded that he build a Mizbeach, Vayivin Shem Mizbeach, Vayivin Shem Mizbeach, Kel Beisel, Kisham Nigla Lov Olekim, and then Vayatsev Yaakov Matzevo, B'mokam Asher Dibur Ito, Matzeves Oven, Vayasech Olo HaNesech, Vayitzek Olo HaShomen. In other words, Yaakov Vino complied with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's demand, and then it talks about the matzeva of Rachel, and then basically there's it gives you the names of the shvatim, and then it concludes with Vayovel Yaakov al Yitzchak of Mamre Kiryas Arba Yichevron Asher Gorsham Avram Yitzchak Vayim Eimet Yimei Yitzchak Maas Shona Shmanu Shona Vayig Vayitzchak Vayomas Vayos Valamav Zokin Es Vayomim Vayig Broso Esa Vayakov Bona. That's the end of that account. So the end of that account we mentioned was the end of the era of Mizbechos, that after that there was no more Mizbechos, because Mizbechos really, of course, by Moshe Rabbeinu, even Mizbech, not that the idea was forever gone. The idea was the most important idea, but the idea of Mizbeach was not just Yedias Hashem and the knowledge of man and what man can do and how man can participate in this Yedias Hashem based upon his nature. Not just that, but it was an idea of proclaiming those two concepts to the rest of the world. And that era, we said, concluded, and that conclusion is Vayovo Yaakov O Yitzchak Oviv Mamre Kiryas Arba Hichevron Asher Gorsham Avram Yitzchak. When Yaakov he completed his journey, he came back to his father Yitzchak, to Mamre Kiryas, to Hebron, which was really the main place of the Avos. Mamre Kiryas Arba, that was the main residence. And when he came back, the Torah tells you that he came back was the end of the whole focus on Mizbeach and proclaiming Yedias Hashem to the world ended over there. That's why, you see, when that ended, that conclusion of his journey was the conclusion of that whole era. And that's why that really is the end of that parsha. Then the Torah began, really, with, actually, it would be appropriate to say that it would be appropriate to break it up that way. You would say that you could have started the next parsha with Ve'elu Toldos Esav Uedom, because Because that's really where the change takes place. Now the Torah says that's the end of that era. Now the Torah says, and now the Torah begins. The Eilah told us Esav hu Edom is really the beginning of the new part of the narrative. But the narrative begins with the Eilah told us Esav hu Edom. That's what Rashi's saying, basically. That's where it begins. But there it goes b'derech k'tzara, and then it comes to Vayeshev b'derech arucha. Okay? Yeah. So the derech arucha is because in giving once now the Torah is going to into the new era, so the Torah in the new era is giving a brief account of Esav and a lengthy account of Yaakov. Yeah, why the difference? The difference is based on the Ashkafas Olam of Yahadus. And the Ashkafas Olam of Yahadus is really the purpose of the Torah. The question that we raise is, what is the purpose of the Torah? Is the purpose of the Torah to give you a historical account, or is it to give you really Maisei Avos, and we can learn from Maisei Avos? So really what Rashi says is, no, it's really neither. You see, the Torah is really interested in giving you an account, but the Torah is interested in showing you that the causes of the results are different in Esav than they are in Yaakov. So really, it's not the purpose of the Torah was not simply to give you an account of the other so you can learn from myself. Of course, that's something that results from the way the Torah wrote. That wasn't the essential aim of the Torah. What is the essential aim of the Torah? The essential aim of the Torah is to show you what you have before you, where it came from. That's really, if you want to unify, the purpose of the Torah is to show what you have before you, what are the causes of those things that you have before you. So it's an account, but it's a historical account, but not historical in the sense that we use the word historical. Different kind of history. The difference is that the history of the Torah is really based on the theory of history of the Torah. A different theory. The Torah has its own history. It is historical, but it has its own theory of history. Now you know in history in general is a machlekes among the historians. Machlekes among the historians is that do I say that basically the historian of course is interested in. And precisely that. He wants to understand what the true historian. The historian just wants to give an account of what happened. That's not a true historian. True historian is one who tries to show what we have before us, what the causes of everything that we see presently is. That's the true theoretical historian. A historian that just gives you an account of facts is writing a history, but he's not really a historian. Because a historian has to be able to choose between different events. And there are millions and millions and billions of events, and there's no way he'd be able to choose. So he has to make the choice. That's why there really could never be an objective history. Because it's impossible to have an objective history. Because a history in terms of, if you want to give a full history, so you have to include billions of events, and it's impossible to do so. So the historian has to choose. Once the historian has to make a choice, that's where the problem comes into the picture. Because the historian has to make a choice, how does he make his choice? Which events does he choose? So it has to be based on a philosophy. So that's why every historian has to be a philosopher. And he has to have the correct philosophy. So now you're ready to take history and throwing it into the area of philosophy. So most historians are not philosophers, certainly not true philosophers. So history simply is pretty much nullified. So the choice of events is always up to the historian, and it's impossible for the historian to write a history without having his own frame of reference and philosophy in mind in order to help him make the choice. So Yahadus, which is the Daso MS, has its own specific ideas of history. The machlokes that you have in general in the world, well, one of the big machlokes in history is, do we say that everything that we see is a result of society? Society, it's a societal phenomena, which means it's a result of an interaction of societal forces. And the great men that appear on the scene are merely embodiments of the society. In other words, what is a great man? A great man always is raised in a society. So therefore, if you want to know the summation of all the best of the things that exist in the society, look at the great man, because he has lived in that society, he has absorbed the finest elements, and he stands as a product which, in a way, is a summary of the whole civilization and the whole society. So that's the role of the great man. The great man is a summation of all that's best in the society that he lives in. In that sense, every historian agrees that a great man is significant. But there's a machlokes. Some say no, it's the opposite. It's not that the great man is a result of the society, but on the contrary, the great man is the one that is responsible for the society. And according to that theory, all of history can be summed up by a succession of great individuals. And the great individuals were the leaders of the society, so therefore all of history is really a history of great men. And the society is caused by the great men, just the reverse. That's the machlokes among historians. Of course, there are many, many problems with these theories. The problem, of course, is what is a great man? That's the first problem. And there are other problems in terms of these theories. I mean, it's an intricate, obviously you can see right away that you're going to an area where you have innumerable variables and innumerable problems. But Yahadus maintains, without going into the science of history in general, the Yahadus maintains really a different shita, and the shita is that history is a result of great people, and that's why you see the Torah always stops, like Rashi says. You see, the Torah stops by the great man and elaborates, but of course Yahadus recognizes also society in general is a causative agent, but Yahadus maintains that the great man is responsible for a specific society, but not because he's a great man, but because he is a great man, he interacts with the Ashgacha. And the Ashgacha molds history through this great man. That's basically the Ashgacha of Yahadus. That's really what Rashi is saying. That's what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying that when it comes to the area, the Eila told us, Esav u'Edom, over there, you're dealing with the Nefesh HaBahami of Adam. Esav is the Nefesh HaBahami. The Nefesh HaBahami, there's not much to talk about. The causes are biological, essentially, like Rashi says. So from Adam till Noach, Ploni holit as Ploni. You want to know the cause? The cause is the biological order of nature. Ploni holit as Ploni. There's nothing more to talk about. The Torah is makata. What the Torah is saying is the only thing significant in these chain of events, the causal chain over there, is the biological. That's what the Torah is saying. Ploni holit as Ploni. So the Torah really, why does the Torah do that? Because the Torah wants to show you, again, the Torah's purpose is not to write stories, accounts of great individuals, so that we can learn from those accounts. If that were simply the purpose of the Torah, then there wouldn't be any other historical accounts. You wouldn't need from Adam till Noach, 10 generations. What do you need it for? There's nothing to do with Pliny, Hillis, Pliny. What do you need it for? And you wouldn't need Pliny, Hillis, Pliny with the from Noach to Avram. And there's Noach to Avram. Why does the Torah write that? Because the Torah writes that to show you the contrast, basically, and to show you that the purpose of the Torah is not to write stories of great people, not to write narratives about great people, nor is it to write a historical account of facts. But the purpose of the Torah is to show you what the historian is looking for, basically. Namely, what we have in front of us, where did it come from? Where do we get this? So the Torah shows you that it depends what you're talking about. If you want to know where Edom came from, so we have to write one way. Because Edom, the account of Edom, or the account from Adam till Noach, is really the simplest account. They're simply biological. Okay? Simply biological. But the account of Esav, a little more elaborate. But again, basically the same theme, that the causes of what you see in Edom are simply the natural order, the Nefesh HaBahami of Adam. But when it comes to Klal Yisrael, when it comes to the Avos, there already you're dealing, or even Adam HaRishon, from Adam HaRishon, Adam, Noach, Avram, over there, these individuals were individuals that rose above the biological, and therefore they were great individuals. And the result of what we have is the interaction. These great individuals lived in a certain manner, and they exercised their bechira in a certain manner, and through doing so, they interacted with the Hashgacha, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the cause of the results that we have. So therefore, that is the only way that the Torah could, that's exactly the method of the Torah's writing, and the only way that the Torah could have written that. Because what the Torah is showing you is precisely the contrast and the nature of the causes, and also the contrast. Contrast is important too. Because that's really that's part of the limud. In other words, why do we have what we have before us today, in today's world? It's a result of human beings functioning in different ways. On the one hand, the part of the world that we have is because of the nature of the biological order. That's one thing. That's what Torah is showing you from Adam to Noach. The biological order, Noach to Avram, Esav, that's one method, but the only way to account for that type of result, the results of Esav. On the other hand, when you come to Klal Yisrael, so there, it's great individuals, but because great individuals were the cause, but they weren't the cause on their own. They were the cause through their interaction with the Hashgacha. That's basically what Rashi really shows you. That's exactly how the Torah works. See, that's the order of the Torah. You want to know, is the Torah a historical account? Yes. The Torah is really gives you what the historian is looking for. The historian is looking for the cause of everything that he had before us. But the historian has great difficulty in isolating the events that give those results. But the Torah, which is the Das HaEmes, tells you exactly the nature of how to trace, which events to look for. How do you trace the events in one system, and how you trace the events in the other system. And basically it shows you that the world that we have before us today is a result of two different systems, qualitatively differentiated types of causes. So the cause of Edom is simply biological, And the cause of Klal Yisrael, the Yeshuva Yaakov, is a result of great individuals' actions, but not their actions, but their action, not their actions alone, but their actions as their actions interrelate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, with God's will, with the Hashgacha, and basically that is the whole theory, the historical theory of Yahadah. So really, this, what Rashi's explaining is that what seems to a person at first sight as a type of accounting which is not done accurately or carefully, and it looks like a mixing up of two different things, is really a very singular type of approach, a very unified approach. And the approach is to show what Odom is and how he stands in relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is what gives the results that the historian is looking for. Now, when it comes to Edom, so the causes are simply the order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the Nefesh HaBahami of Adam. When it comes to Klal Yisrael, the results are from the great individuals, the way they acted, and the interjection of the Ashgacha. Okay, that's why you have, for instance, by Yosef, by Yimtzei Ish, Inei Soa Basoda. So Ish is Gavriel. It means to say that was an interaction of the Ashgacha. At certain points, the Torah shows you the way. So basically, it's a limud, not a limud of how great people acted. Of course, that's part of it. But it's more than that. It's a limud of how great people acted, but the way they acted and the hashgacha that they generated in their relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's more than just a story of a great person so they could learn from his masim. That's not really all it is. And that's the objective, is really the objective of the historian, to show you where what you have before you came from. That's the plan. That's the main theme. That's the main theme. In that theme, in that objective, you find the great individuals and how the Hashgacha relates to them. That's really the historical theory of Yahadah. So what Rashi shows you is the Eila told Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz Megurei Aviv Beretz Kenan. So Rashi says, in that pasuk, really, Rashi explains the whole theory of the Torah, the objective of the Torah's account, the nature of the Torah's account, and why those things which at first sight would seem to be just haphazardly put together, on the contrary, are really put together with the greatest precision and the most singular unified approach. And that approach is to show you, to teach a person. Like we said, Mizbeach, the whole purpose of Mizbeach is to teach you about God, Yedias Hashem, okay, and the knowledge and understanding of man, what the Tzelem HaLakim is. So too over here in the account, it's the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the way his Hashgacha works, and the type of individual and the level of perfection an individual has to arrive at in order to avail himself of the Ashgacha, and in order to be fit for the Ashgacha to interact with him. So really the historical account gives a person, the historical account of the Torah gives a person both Yediyah Hashem and also Yediyah insofar as Adam's perfection is concerned. And how that perfection actually, in a way that for us is astonishing and astounding, can bring a person into the arena of Hashgacha, and the Hashgacha will actually interact with him and produce the results that the results that the Torah that we have in front of us today, and that you have, I mean, the account of the Torah itself. I mean, it's not just the Torah is not just trying to explain things from Bereishis until Einei Kol Yisrael, until the end of the Torah, but it's trying to give an explanation for up to this day, up to today. It's the same exact thing. It's the same exact thing. But the Torah's account ends after the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's interesting also that you see that in that Sefer Devarim, really, the way it ends is funny. It seemed like it would end in a few different places towards the end. And it should end here, but it keeps on going, including the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because it fits in line with what we're saying, basically, that it's an account of Yediyas Hashem in terms of the Ashgacha, and also an account of the great individual. So every event in Moshe Rabbeinu's life had to be part of Chamisha Chumshe Torah, even to his last day. So that's the problem with the last day Pesukim of the Torah. But that everybody agrees that the last Pesukim had to be there, because the account would be incomplete if it didn't include every event in Moshe Rabbeinu's life. See, including his Patira. Because it's an account of the great individual and the way he interacts with the Ashgacha. That's basically what Rashi is saying. That's what Rashi means. Rashi says that Acha shekasvach yishuv yesu v'taldosu v'derech ketzora shelo hoyu sfunim v'chashuvim. So he says Pirish loch yeshuve Yaakov v'taldosu v'derech arucha. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that just God likes us more. It means that because over here you're dealing with Godless Adam and his interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the Gilgulei Hasibos are different over here than the Gilgulei Hasibos over there. And of course it's part of the objective of the Torah that a person should have the realization that the Gilgulei Hasibos over there talk about. But the Torah had to give that account, you see, in order to teach man the contrast between an individual who is a great person and interacts with the Ashgacha and what he creates and what he produces in terms of the Tikkun HaOlam, and what the other side produces as well, and what their causes are. It's an interesting thing. When you take a look, this explains something in the Mashal that always bothered me. Because Rashi says in the Mashal, he says, Mashal amargolya shenafla bein achol, adam memashmesh b'chol, v'kovro b'kavarach and motzeh amargolya. So a person looks in the sand, and he finds the margolya, he sifts it out. So when he finds it, so he throws away the Troros and he takes the Margolius. So what bothered me was that the analogy is not exact. Because if you're going to tell me that he finds the Margolius and he throws away the sand, so that's not really what the Torah did. Because the Torah didn't throw it away. So why did the Torah have Vela told us Esau? The marshal is you find the diamond, you throw away the sand. So why did the Torah actually give an account of Esau? The mashal is not good. It's not an exact mashal. But really what we're saying now explains it. The mashal is precise and exact. What Rashi's telling you is that part of the reason of why the Torah did it this way is because the Torah wanted to show you the contrast. That over here you have Adam functioning on the highest, most perfected level, interacting with the Ashgacha and creating worlds, different kinds of worlds, metaphysical worlds, Kol Yisrael, a whole metaphysical entity, and the contrast is on the other side. Vela told us Esav Ledom, man who's involved simply in the Nefesh HaBahami, and his account is simply a biological account. So really the Torah is teaching you what is the Margolios, and you should be Mashlich the Tzoros. So the contrast is precise. That's exactly what Rashi means. That just like a person is mashlich l'tzoros, Rashi's saying that's part of the objective of the Torah, is to show you the contrast between one system, which is Godless Adam, and the other system, which simply the causes are related to the Nefesh HaBahami, and it's something with which a person should be mashlich, should look down upon as being worthless. So again, the account that the mashal Rashi gives is very exact. But the order of the parshiyos are really very precise. At the end of the first era of the Avos, which is the main purpose of the Torah, is to show you to be marich in those things which are chashuvim lefnei hamakom. So that's the overall account. So that's why when it says that Vayavo Yaakov al Yitzchok Oviv Mamre Kiryas Arba, that's the end of that account. So the culmination is determined by the era of Mizbechos. When that's the close of the era, is based upon the metaphysical Adam who was involved in Mizbeach. And that's the end. Now we start a new parsha. Now we start to give an account of Esav and Yaakov. So that's the next thing, an account of Esav and Yaakov, and the Esav is quick, and now it goes into the Gilgulei Asibos of Yaakov Avinu, which are Chashuvim Lefnei HaMakom. That's the order. Okay, just a So basically, like I said, in this Rashi, you really have the whole historical theory of Torah, and also an unbelievable explanation of how the whole Torah works. Now, why did Rashi elaborate over here? The reason is because this is really the most significant part of the Torah in terms of the ultimate account of Klal Yisrael. This is really where it begins. Yeah, why was the era of Mizbechos over? What brought the conclusion to the era of Mizbechos? So that's found before. Right before, in other words, Vayivne Yaakov Shnei Masor, B'nei Leah B'chor Yaakov Ruvain. The moment the story of Yaakov Avinu, and the moment he had all the Shiftei Kah, the moment the Shiftei Kah came into existence, that's Vayuvin Yaakov Shnei Masor, B'nei Leah B'chor Yaakov Ruvain, straight through, right after that, Vayavo Yaakov, B'nei Zupo Shuchas Leah God V'asher, El B'nei Yaakov Sheyul Lo B'fad Nerom, Vayavo Yaakov O Yitzchok Oviz Mamre Kiryas Arba. That means the moment that the Shiftei Kah came into existence, that put an end to the Mizbechos. And that's what brought an end to that era. And then you start with the account of Esav and Yaakov. Now the moment Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Meguri Oviz Be'eretz Kenan has a totally different style. The reason for the difference in the style is because now the focus is on Klal Yisrael. In other words, Mizbeach was for the entire world. But now the Torah, the energy is, so to speak, is not going to be expended externally to the entire world so much, but essentially to the Shiftei Kah. That's why Yeshiv Yaakov Beretz Meguri Yaakov Beretz Kanan. It's a total transition. Until this point, there was no Shiftei Kah, so that's why the work of the Avos was Mizbechos. But after the Shiftei Kah came into existence, now it's a whole different work. And the work is Ela told us Yaakov Yosef ben Shvas Reshana Hayaroa Sechav Batalon. So now what the Torah gives an account of the new era. The new era was a concentration on the Shiftei Kah, and the first element that the Torah mentions is Yosef, the most important element. Why? Because really what Yaakov Avinu was doing here is he was establishing establishing the whole system of Kol Yisrael, the Shivtei Kol. And who was the most significant one? The most significant one in his mind, the way he established it, the most significant one was Yosef. Because really there were two significant individuals. One was Yosef and one was Yehuda. And basically the way Yaakov Avinu set it up was that Yosef was going to be the Rosh Yeshiva, and that's what Chazal say. Targum Unkel is Bar Chakim, and Chazal say that that all the Torah that learned in Shem Vaver is Moser only to Yosef, because he felt that he was the one that had the ability really to understand fully Sisrei Torah, and the Sisrei Torah he gave over to him. And you understand, the one that understands the Sisrei Torah is the one that is the Rosh, because he's the Yosef Rosh, because he understands Sisrei Torah means the real, you can't, the one who has an understanding of Torah is the one that has the greatest understanding of Sisrei Torah, because Sisrei Torah is the whole foundation of Yahadus. So Yosef was the one that he was Moser, he gave over the true ideas, the ideas that the that most people can never attain. Like the Rambam says that it's Sod Hashem L'Yireyov, and it's hidden from the Amon, but certain rare individuals are able to partake of that, and Yosef was the one. So Yosef was really the Rosh Yeshiva, and Yehuda was really the Melech. That's the way he established it. But Yosef was Yosef is first, because Yosef really is the most important. Yeah. Now, Rashi says, Tola Kosov Toldos Yaakov Be Yosef Mitne Kamadvaram Achas Shekol Atzma Shel Yaakov Lo Avad Eitzel Lovan Ela Baruchel Veshoya Zivi Kuni Shel Yosef Domolo V'chol Ma She'ir Li Yaakov Ir Li Yosef Zenestam V'Zenestam Ze'echov M'Lakish L'Hargo V'Ze'echov M'Lakish L'Hargo. And what does Rashi mean over there? What Rashi means is, Rashi over there is explaining what the Ramban says, that Maisa Ovo Similar Bonim, the sort of Chazal, which is that when the Torah gives an account of an individual, of the great individuals, so the great individuals follow certain lines of perfection in accordance with their nature. And really, that's the whole idea of the Shiftei Kod, that each one, the brachos in Vayechi, the brachos in Vayechi really are the each one's nature, and the nature that they have, the way perfection, the specific perfection that falls into their lot. Because perfection is something which is individualistic. Even though perfection is a general thing, but it's very individualistic, because it has to, each person's nature is different, and each person's nature has to partake of perfection in a very specific way. So what Rashi's saying is, Eila told us Yaakov Yosef, what it means is that Yosef's nature was really just like his father. He was the one that had that nature exactly like his father, and that's why those same things happened to him. Again, that's the historical theory. The historical theory is that there are certain patterns in history. Those patterns will repeat itself. But those patterns will repeat itself in terms of how the individual, what the nature of the individual's perfection is, and if the individual really exercises their bechira properly, so then they will bring into play a certain hashgacha. That's the whole idea of Maisa Avo Simla. Maisa Avo Simla is not just a, most people the way they understand it, it's just a silly idea. I mean, what happened to him, it happened to him. History repeats itself. No, it's not, absolutely not true. History doesn't repeat itself, and the whole idea is nonsensical. But what Yahadus maintains is that there is, history does repeat itself, but based upon the historical theory of Yahadus. The historical theory of Yahadus is that an individual has a certain nature. When he understands his nature, he will understand how to partake of perfection in terms of Yedias Hashem, and that creates a very specific pattern. That pattern, which is really molded by the individual's bechira, and the hashgacha is a fixed kind of a thing. It'll repeat itself. It happened. Well, that's what it means, my service in Lebanon. It'll repeat itself again, because the hashgacha is not haphazard, but the hashgacha works in a very specific way. It's not just an event that HaKadosh Baruch Hu related to a certain individual in a certain time in history, and that's it. There is HaKadosh Baruch Hu always will relate to an individual the same way, as long as that individual has the same, partakes of the same perfection. In other words, if you have two individuals, and they could be living in two different periods in history, but if each one partakes of the same nature, and each one exercises their bechira properly, they are going to be the same in nature, and the ashgacha will treat them in the same manner, so that the patterns. So it comes out that according to the what Rashi is adding over here is a specific dimension, namely that the theory of history of Yahadus expresses itself on an individualistic basis as well. Namely, the theory, the historical theory, is the way the great individual acts, the way he chooses the way he makes his choices in terms of actualizing his own potential in perfection, and then the way the Ashgacha interacts with that perfection. And that has an underlying pattern. It doesn't matter what time in history the individual lives. The only difference will be in terms of the specific events. But the Ashgacha will always be the same. And that's why there will always be a repetition of patterns. The idea of Maisa Avo Simul Labanim is based on the whole historical theory of Yahadus, which Rashi enunciated before. So Rashi over here is very closely, it is just a follow-up of the same idea. The Eile told us Yaakov Yosef. What it means is, now that Vayeshev Yaakov, Rashi established the general historical theory, now in specific, you should know, Zenistam de Zenistam, Zeuchov Lakshmar Hargo, Zeuchov Lakshmar Hargo. There's a reason for it. The reason is, because of the nature of the individuals, Yosef was really a replication in terms of his keches and nefesh, his inner abilities was a replication of his father, and because of his godless ha'odam, he had the same kind of events befell him. And that is something which will always repeat itself. The individual, and that's basically the whole idea of the brachos of Vayechi. The patterns of the brachos, the patterns of the nature of the individual and the way they achieve perfection, and it causes the hashgacha to interact, and there are patterns. There will always be patterns. There are yechidim which will follow the pattern of a Yaakov Avinu, of Avram Avinu, of Yitzchak Avinu. They're all because of the fact, in a smaller way, of course, but if they partake of the same quality, there's going to be a certain quality there, a certain pattern will emerge between their perfection and the way they interact with the Ashgacha. And it is a pattern. It is a pattern. That's the whole idea of myself as similar bond. That's really what Rashi's saying over here. It's a continuation of the first Rashi of this theory. Now, the last... The Od Midrash. Yeah. Rashi says, "Kolatz Moshe Yaakov lo Ovad Ela Eitzel Lovin Ela Baruchel." I mean, that's part of apparently what Chazal is saying over there is that had a lot to do with why Yosef was very much like Yaakov. And the fact that Rachel was really his wife. Like the Mepharshim point out, it says Bnei Rachel Eishes Yaakov Yosef of Yom. It says Eishes Yaakov over there, because that was his real wife. Apparently, that had to do with it. The fact that it was Rachel had to do with the why Yosef was really very much like his father. But that's a separate thing. I'm just saying that ties in over here. Now, the last shot.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Yeah, your question, Rabbi?
Yes.
In terms of Yaakov and Yosef, the events that Rashi describes seems to happen to for very different reasons.
It would seem that way, but it's not really true. There's an underlying commonality there. What do you mean?
For example, the fact that his brothers hated Yosef and the fact that Esav hated Yaakov seem to be for very different reasons.
Okay, basically, let me answer that briefly. Okay, I mean, of course, it's not a simple thing. What Chazal are telling us is the general principle, the Rashi Prakim. But in detail, everything requires very careful analysis. But on that point, I just want to mention this one point, okay? Just to open up a little bit of a derech here. What Rashi's saying over there is that the sin of Esav was really Yaakov Ishtam Yosef Aholim, was really a sinner that was like Chazal say. Chazal say that what's the worst thing that a person, that a Talmud Chacham could do to an Amoritz? The worst thing he could do is sit and learn Torah. Because when the Amoritz sees him learning Torah and enjoying Torah, it's kilu borel arusasa b'fanav. It's as if he's living with the Amoritz's arusa. So what Rashi's, what Chazal is saying over there is that the sin of Esav was based, it never would have really materialized to such an extent, even though he took the brachis and this and all the things that he complained about, but the real underlying sinner was the Yaakov Ishtam Yosef Aholim, that whenever he came home, he saw Yaakov sitting there learning Torah. It was the envy of the Torah that really was responsible for the magnitude of his sinner. That's what Rashi says. Ze'ochiv nevakish lahargo? Yeah, of course he wouldn't have liked him. There's no question he would have hated him. But the hatred reached a level of mevakish lahargo. And the same thing was true with Yosef HaTzadik. It wasn't, even though it says, Yave Yosef is the bosom royal of him, of course, these were the elements the Torah is telling you that the Shiftekor used in the Horos Shoah to do away with Yosef. That was in the Psaka and in the Mishpah to do away with it. That was an element, of course. That was part of the sinner. But the real underlying sinner was what Chazal, Vayiru Echov Ki Oso Ohav Avihem Mikol Bona Vayisnu Oso. It wasn't the love. It was they were grown ups. They're grown people, and it's true that it could bother any person that the father is the father is partial. Yeah, okay. But as we said last week, I mean, a real chacham may go through his mind, but he realizes that it's stupid and he'll dismiss it. But the ohav was what Chazal say, that he was moser him the Torah of Shem Veda. That was really the root of the sinner. The sinner would never have reached the magnitude that it did if it weren't for the fact. There are a lot of things in the picture, a lot of elements in the picture. You can't discount all the elements. There are a lot of variables that are there in order to bring about a certain kind of a result. The Torah understands very well that nothing is simple in man. Man is very complex. But if you would minus out that one factor, the Torah, then they never would have killed him. That's what Chazal is saying.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
I heard the name of Mark Twain that he said, history doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes, which would work perfectly with the theory that you're putting forth. In other words, the details don't always match, but the patterns are the same. So it says Yosef and Yaakov's Hashkafa was
Yeah, but
the
it's
same.
A different kind of thing that he's talking
match.
About. I mean, I'm not talking about Mark Twain. Mark Twain is talking about general history. I'm talking about a very specific theory of history, namely the Hashgacha. The Hashgacha is the main element. I mean, that's the stories, the accounts that are given in Torah, the major element that shapes the whole entity and brings about the result is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man plays a small role, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that is man's role is only to avail himself of the Hashgacha. So I don't think Mark Twain had that in mind.
I'm sure he did, but it doesn't appear that the Hashgacha also repeats itself identically each time.
Excuse me?
It doesn't appear that the Shkata repeats itself identically each time.
Well, that's what I mentioned before. It's different, though. You see, it's a totally different... You can't, that was what he's saying, or we're saying, are two different things. We're talking about Yedias Hashem. He's talking about... he's talking about patterns in history, which, I mean, which are very... Those type of things are very arbitrary. You could argue it's the same, you could argue it's different. I mean, it's not, you know, that's a different kind of a thing. We're talking, the chiddush of the Torah is, what the Torah is teaching you is, that the it's showing you, it's giving you insight insofar as man can attain insight into the way, the relationship between man and God. And that's what the Torah is doing. And it's showing you that that relationship is based on man's Yedias Hashem, and the Yedias Hashem and the striving for perfection, and let me just elaborate a little more on that. That what the Torah is teaching you is that the every individual is on a course, if they're living a proper life, is on a course towards perfection. Okay? That course has a certain characteristic and a certain pattern to it. And depending on the nature of the individual and how that individual partakes of perfection, that's how the characteristic of the course will appear, will be determined. In other words, what the Torah is teaching is that there are channels of perfection. And every channel has its own particular characteristics. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats each individual according to their nature and according to their course of perfection. And there are certain patterns and certain channels of that have specific descriptions. That's what it's teaching you. You see, it's a metaphysical history. It's a different kind of a... it's a different kind of a history, okay? But anyways, so, yeah. So I just want to conclude here with the last Rashi. The last Rashi is, V'od nidrash bo v'yeshev b'kesh Yaakov l'yeshev b'shalva. What it means is like this. Kofsel v'rgis shal Yosef, tzadikim v'vakshim l'yeshev b'shalva. I'm going to lay down, tzadikim v'ashem, esukim em l'olam ha'bo, elam v'vakshim l'yeshev b'shalva b'olam hazeh. That last Chazal is based upon, that's a little different, that last Chazal, even though it's related, but it's a different, there's a different idea over there. What that Chazal is saying is like this. The Chazal is saying, over here, Vayeshev Yaakov, like we said before, the end of the era was the Shiftei Ka. Then the Torah starts a whole new history. And like I said, the Parsha could have began with Vela told us Esav. That's really where the Parsha should begin. But, Chazal didn't want the Parsha to begin the Eltos Esos to begin the Yeshiv Yaakov. But that's really what Rashi is saying. So the laning begins with Vayeshiv Yaakov. You don't begin the Eltos Esos. But the break is really the Eltos Esos. That's really the beginning of the Parsha. The Eltos Esos is the whole new era. Now, Vayeshiv Yaakov, it's showing you, Eltos Esos, okay, this is it. This is what it is. Now, told us Yaakov. So, Ve'ela told us Yaakov, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shava, is based on the Midrashim. See, the Midrashim, there are, that's a Rashi quotes this Midrash last. Because there are Midrashim which are essential to the whole structure, and then there's a Midrash which is a derivative of the structure. Okay? This last one is a derivative. But it's based on the same structure. The structure is Vayeshev Yaakov, which means to say, now we come to the end of the year of Mizbechos and the concentration of energy into establishing the Shiftei Ka, a whole different focus of attention. And now what happens is, so what Chazal is saying is, Vayeshev Yaakov, Beretz Meguri Oviv, Beretz Kanaan, means that Yaakov Avinu at that point thought to himself, he's going to establish now the Shiftei Ka. All his energy is going to be into establishing the system. And in his mind, he had the whole system worked out. Like we mentioned before, Yosef was the Rosh Yeshiva, and Yehuda was the Melech. And basically, His whole world was about, he was about to establish his whole world in terms of the future of Klal Yisrael, of course. That was his world. So what does the Torah show? The Torah shows you, and this explains something else. The Kasha, if you take a look in the Parsha of Vayeshev, so after the story of after the story of Yosef, so it says, "Vayhi boisei vayered yudu me'es echot." So the question is, what is that doing over here? That what's the order of events over here with Tamar and with Peretz and Zorach? You see, what is that doing here? But the answer is, that's really a part. That's what this medrash explains. That the Torah is showing you that Yaakov really had the whole plan worked out how to establish the Shiftei Koach. But basically, in a short time, his whole world fell apart. Because Yosef, who was the main one, Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, he was the Rosh Hashiva, he was the Gadol HaDor, and he suddenly is gone. Then Yehuda is the Melech, Vayered Yehuda Me'esechov. So Chazal say, why? Because of that whole event, later they started to have second thoughts about it. And who did they blame? The Melech. They blamed Yehuda. They said, if you're the Melech, it was your job to have the foresight and to criticize us, and Melech has to be Mochiach also. And you should have been Mochiach. So you're not royal Malchus. So Vayera Yehuda Me'esecha. So his whole world, what the Torah is showing is basically that his whole world fell apart. Yaakov Vina's world fell apart. Yosef and Yehuda, gone. So Chazal is saying, why? What is the Torah saying? The Torah saying is that when it comes to the area, most people realize that the Torah demands of an individual that he know that his physical well-being, his financial well-being, is not in his hands. That, of course, is the Dava Pashut. Everybody knows that. That's the fact they have B'tochem Hashem. And you know that's not in your hands. That's it. It's an Olam Sheni Shaloch. Olam Sheni Shaloch. Like that Nazir said, Olam Sheni Shaloch. But when it comes to the area of Ruchnius, when it comes to the metaphysical area, so there people think, for some reason, a person can lapse into the thought that this is the area of Kedusha. This is the area where all my strivings are pure, L'shem Shemayim. In this area, at least, I have a certain amount of control. See, that's Bikesh Yaakov Leshiv V'Shava. It means he wanted, doesn't mean Bikesh Yaakov Leshiv V'Shava to want to sit back and relax and take a vacation. It's nonsensical. The Maharsh Chazal say that on the contrary. Tzadikim anat menucha lo bolam azev lo lo maba. But what it means is, Leshiv V'Shava means there's a shalva that a person has when he knows everything is in order. That's the shalva. It's a certain kind of shalva. So Bikesh Yaakov Leshiv V'Shava means he wanted to have that sense of peace that a person has when they know things are running the way they should be, the way they want them to be, but not simply the way they want them to be. That's basically Beinoni thinks that way, or certainly Rishayim think that way, where they want things to go their way. Or Beinoni has to recognize that you can't. This is Olam Sheni Shaloch. But in the area of Ruchnius, in the area where the person, all his goals, like a Yaakov Vino, are completely pure, his motivation is pure, L'shem Shemayim, he's operating on the highest level, in that world, the person, he wanted to have the sense that things are going, in the world of Torah, the way he was destined to bring it about. That, Chazal say, was wrong. That's what it says. Bikesh Yaakov Leshiv V'Shava. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzadikim lo dai lahem sheyesh lahem l'olam haba. It means to say that the great individual has to recognize that is also an Olam Sheni Shaloch. In that area as well, he has no control. He simply has no control. So that's what Chazal say. What Chazal is saying is, Derech Mashal is, that Yaakov was improved by the fact that his world fell apart, but it gave him a different hashkafa insofar as the role of man and his understanding of how man, the perfected man, interacts with the Ashgacha. He had a different understanding after this than he had before. So the incident, Vayeshev Yaakov, raised him to a different level, but again, in the same philosophy that we mentioned before. What is the philosophy? The philosophy is that the whole account of the Torah is to teach you how Adam, the perfected man, the great man, lives and how he interacts with the Ashgacha. So what this Medrash is showing you is the same idea, but a different twist, a different element to it. What it's saying is that Yaakov Vinu himself was really perfected through the fact that his whole world fell apart, and his world of Torah fell apart. His whole system fell apart. He wasn't successful. But he saw after that new insight into how the Ashgacha interacts, even with the greatest human being, and how much is in his control, how much is not in his control. That is the greatest limud. That's really the purpose, like we mentioned before, of the whole account, the whole system, the whole Torah system, the historical system. That's the underlying theme of the whole historical system, to teach you what Adam can do as a great individual and how the Ashgacha interrelates with him when he operates and functions on a certain level. So this medrash is like a secondary medrash, but in the same theme. Namely, that Yaakov, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Tzadikim lo dai lahem ma sheyesh lahem olam haba. It means to say that a tzaddik, in order to attain what he will attain in olam haba, has to gain a knowledge, elashim avachim olam haza, but they want to be able to have a certain sense of olam, of control over olam haza, or not, I wouldn't say control, that's not a proper term for Yaakov Avinu, but a certain sense of how the Ashgacha will guarantee them in a certain level, a certain type of guarantee based upon an understanding of how a perfected person acts and what the results are. So what Chazal is saying is that Yaakov Avinu gained a totally different insight into how the perfected person acts and how the Ashgacha interrelates with that individual. It was different than he thought it was when he started out. By Yeshiv Yaakov Beretz Meguri Oved, he started out with one idea, but in the end he saw it was much different than he thought. And he himself was the beneficiary of the limud, the very limud of Torah, which the Torah teaches you, of how a great person lives and the results that take place through the Ashgachas Hashem. That's basically the last medrash. So all these Rashis are really interrelated. It's one underlying theme, and different facets to it. Okay, any questions?
Ready?
Yeah.
The situation with Yaakov when his shalva was, so to say, broken, didn't seem to be artificial. It was really Chumash seems to indicate it was his mistake.
Excuse me?
The Chumash seems to indicate that the situation with Yaakov, right, when his shalva was broken, was really his own doing, because he favored Yosef and he overlooked the brothers.
Where do you see that?
Well,
where do you see the Torah blames him for it?
Not explicitly, Chazal seems to say that.
Well, you know, you have to understand something. You know, it's not, everything is not that simple. I mean, I'll show you that that itself is not such a double pashut, because you see that he repeated the same thing with Binyamin. By Binyamin, what did Judah say by Binyamin when he stood before Yosef? So I say, Achiv Meis, Ulevado Nishor, and Atan Yedatim Kishnayim Yaldali Ishti, Vayetze Echad Meiti, Vaomar Achtorah of Torah, Velo Yisrael Hedah. So you see that when Yehuda presented his case before the most powerful man in the land, I mean, he said openly that my father loved the first one. He doesn't know what happened to him. He's gone. He thinks he was killed. And now the second one, that this was my wife, and I only have two children from her. One is gone, and if this is a tragedy befalls the second one, that's the end of my whole life. So you see that he continued. You see, it's an interesting thing. It's not such a bit of a pushup. And he continued to show favoritism to Bnei Rachel. And it's not such a simple thing. But basically, the Torah doesn't really condemn him for that. And it's not such a double pashut. Perhaps it's something we should talk about. But even though Chazal say lo amo yal yishan adam bonav ben abonim, but that you have to understand. You know what I mean? How to take a Chazal? What the Chazal is teaching you? But from the psukim itself, it's not such a double pashut. Okay. But basically, that your question was. So I didn't get your question.
Sorry?
I'm sorry, I didn't get your question.
No, the purpose of the question was the fact that the situation wasn't created by God, but it really was Yaakov's doing, as it seemed.
No. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. That, you know, there are specifics in a situation, and there are general principles. What Chazal are addressing now is general principles. This general principle is true. There are a lot of specifics. And in every situation, whether the event is in the time of Yaakovinu or the event is today, there's a certain pattern, and it's going to be exactly the same in a certain way. But the particulars that surround it are always different.
Actually, Zechariah, Rabbi.
What?
Because it says by Malach that when say Ish, so you see, it was really a hashgacha.
Exactly, the Imsa'i Wish, that's exactly. I mean, it's only one case. I just use that as an example, the Imsa'i Wish. It's just one case where you see that the hashgacha intervened, where the Torah is showing you that the hashgacha intervened. But that's basically the whole historical, that's the way the Torah gives a historical account. You see, I mean, that's the nature of the account of Bereishis is to understand what the underlying theme is. When you see what the underlying theme is and the theory that it's based on, then you see exactly why the Torah wrote the way it did. Okay, and that was the mushroom. But you have to understand that there are general principles and there are particulars. A lot of times, and if it weren't for a certain particular, yes, the event may not have happened. But it doesn't mean that there's no underlying general principle. Okay?
Yep.
Okay, we'll stop there.
Rabbi, another question. Want some more questions, Rabbi?
Rabbi?
If you have more questions, yeah.
Yeah. What? Can you define a little bit more exactly what Yaakov's flaw was? Because, like, what exactly, like, was it, what type of emotion did he have that was his flaw?
I can't define Yaakov's flaw. I'm not on Yaakov's level. It's not a possible thing for us to do.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Not really. Something having to do with that, but not really to define his flaw.
The general principle you can derive from that is that if a person thinks that in his world he's going to every person is obligated to establish Torah in their world, whether their world is a yeshiva, whether their world is their family, whether their world is their friends. I mean, every individual is mechuyev to be involved in establishing and in expanding the horizons of Torah. It doesn't matter whether it's a small group, a big group, whatever it is. But the one general principle you could derive from that is that even in that world, a person should not attach any kind of emotional value to success or to what they think the way the success should take place. And if they do, that is a serious flaw. That's the one. If you want to say, hold on one second. Okay. I can't go. Yeah. All right. The thing is, you understand the thing? In other words, that I think is the limud. The limud over here is that in terms of building Torah, even I don't care who it is, if it's the Gadol HaDor or if it's a regular person that's building Torah in their own family and among their own friends, that a person is not permitted, if a person considers or thinks they have a certain plan, they want this to take place and that to take place, and then they consider themselves successful if it happens and a failure if it doesn't happen, or they get tied up in these kind of things, then they're completely off, then they're off the track. That's basically the limit. That That is, there is no, it's olam sheina shaloch, it extends into every area. A person can't think, well, there's an area of Kedusha, so therefore, if I live this way and do this, of course it's going to result in X, or a specific type of thing. That is a flaw. That's the limud you could derive on our level. But the specifics of Yaakov Avinu went on in his mind, obviously, very, very far from our understanding. The only thing we can say is that, as I said before, that the way he understood it later was different than the way he understood it at first. And I think that I'm not in the area, but my intuition is that that is expressed in the pasuk where it says, the moment he found out that Yosef was alive, so what did he say? The average person would immediately say, my son's alive. 22 years, he thought he was dead. So the immediate reaction would be to go run and to see him. Okay? Right? So, but the pasuk says, Vayom Yisrael Rav, O Yosef ben Yichoy, it's in Meme Chavches. Elcho Avarenu B'Terem Omos, Vayisi Yisrael V'chol Ashelo V'yovo Bereshova, Vayizbach Zvachim L'Lekei Aviv Yitzchak. This parsha over here, I believe, it reflects the deeper understanding. That's when he had a deeper understanding of the Ashkacha. That Vayizbach Zvachim L'Lekei Aviv Yitzchak was, then he realized he saw Yosef was really alive, and he saw the different Ashkacha. Didn't work out the way he thought. The Yeshiv Yaakov means he wanted to set up the system. He was living in Chevron. It would have been beautiful to set up the whole system with the Achim, but didn't work out that way. But later he saw that there's a, when he was hit with the message that Yosef is alive, the Chimu Moshil, the Cholaretz Mitzrayim, he saw there's a different Ashgacha here. Ayizbach Zvachim Alekei Aviv Yitzchak. I believe that parsha is tied to his deeper understanding that he had later than he had before. That we could say. But in specific, what were his thoughts before and what were his thoughts later, we could never, we're not on the level, can't understand it. It would be absurd for us to even make an attempt. But on the other hand, the limit for us is clear, that even in the area of perfection and Torah, we should never think that we should never attach ourselves to specific results. That is the limit that we can derive. And if we do, then we're denying Ashgachas Hashem. Then we're falling into the trap of not recognizing that it's olam she'ena shalach. That is the limud that we can derive. Okay, so the limud is that we're basically, is very, very, it's a very powerful message, very powerful limud. But on the other hand, you know, insofar as Yaakovina, we can have an understanding of it on a certain level, but not really in depth. Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, it would seem from the Rambam that Levi was also Mimuna to be, you know, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, I know.
So would you say that every one of the Shvatim had a role of leadership, a different role? Like, you're saying that Yosef was Rosh Hashiva and that Yehuda was the Melech?
I'm saying the original. The Rambam's talking about later.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, good.
Okay.
Are you going to give Shir on Sunday, Rebbe?
Hopefully, yeah.
At 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.